Bibles tonight, we want to open them up to the book of 1 Kings in chapter 18. We have Brother Terry call us and asked us to come, and would we come? And I said, we'll be praying, and we have been. We've been having college prayer meetings in our church. We got revival week after next when we get back home, and Brother Joe Bryant will be with us. And I said the same thing, what he was saying a while ago yesterday. When we look around, we see all these things happening all around us. We surely need the move of God again in our homes and our churches today. We do need Him to do something. And now listen, it doesn't matter what the world says, and it doesn't matter, listen, it doesn't matter what the devil's saying, because he's a liar. And every time he opens his mouth, he's a liar. That's, listen, every time he speaks, it's a lie. And every time God speaks, it's the truth. And but we're living in an age today that where a lot of people are saying, "Where is thy God?" Well, He's always been where He's always been, and He desires to manifest Himself. I'm glad His presence is with us, but there are times that God desires to manifest Himself, and there's a difference between His manifestation and His presence. And God desires to help us and move among His people, and we've been praying and asking the Lord. And I feel like God would have me to preach out of this chapter here tonight, 1 Kings 18. I thank God for America. I thank the Lord for another birthday we've had. America's not what it needs to be and should be, but I thank God for the privilege of being born in America and raised in America. I still think it's the greatest nation on planet Earth. I pray for those in authority according to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I don't agree with a lot of things going on, but my Bible tells me I'm going to pray for them in authority. So I'm going to pray for them and let God just deal with them, because I want to be obedient to what He says in His Word. 1 Kings chapter 18, if you found your place, and if you would and could you mind standing with me in honor to the reading of the Word of God. Again, it's a real joy for me to be here. You pray for us this week that God would help us and minister our hearts, that we'll be able to handle the Word of God each night. I've been telling the Lord, I said, "Lord, I don't want to preach what I want to preach." I said, I've never been here. I met your pastor years ago at Brother Bill Vaughn's, and likewise, every time he preached, he always preached with a humble heart and bless my heart, and I never didn't know I'd be here one day preaching in his church, but I count it a high honor from God that we're able to come this week and share with you the Word of God, looking for what God's going to do. Find you a place of prayer this week as often as you can, and you pray and ask the Lord, "God, would you meet with us and help us and pray for one another?" Let's read the Bible tonight for just a little while, a few verses, if you don't mind. We know, we're all familiar with the story. Elijah is here on the mount, and he is crying out to God. But there's some things that we want to bring out in verse 21. We want to start there. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt you between two opinions?" In other words, there's always decisions to make on which way to go with God and where God is going. And you always got a decision to make. But he says here, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men." Sort of outnumbered a little bit, isn't he? Sort of like the church today. We're outnumbered today. But listen, that doesn't mean a thing to God. We may be in the minority, but we are still the majority in God's eyes. Amen. He says here in verse 23, "Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call you on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under." And they took the bullocks which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning unto evening, or rather, from morning, evening, even unto noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor anything that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. They got a little upset about their God. When you hear Christians leaping, that's because salvation and Jesus had been glorified. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud. He is a God. Either he is talking or else he's pursuing or he's in a journey or pre-adventure. He's sleeping and must be awakened. Or he must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when the midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice around 6 p.m., that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullocks in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And he did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. Thank you for standing and honor reading the Word of God. You may be seated. Would you join us together in prayer tonight? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the wonderful privilege that we have to be in the house of the Lord tonight here at this church, Lord, at this time. And Lord, I ask you tonight in Christ's name that thou wouldest, Lord, cleanse me from every sin, Lord, that may be in my heart, God. That's Lord, and Lord, wash me, I pray, and cleanse me. And Lord, I pray that every weight would be laid aside. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that is here in our presence tonight, dear Lord. And Lord, for him blessing our hearts already, dear Lord, in the song service and Lord, meeting these dear people here. And I pray, dear Lord, tonight that thou wouldest give Brother Terry and his people the desires of their hearts as they've been praying and seeking you for revival, dear Lord. And Father, I realize tonight that, Lord, that we surely do need revival in our land, dear Lord. And Lord, I'm aware that lost men can't be revived, Lord, but the saved can be. And we ask you, Lord, tonight, would you please, dear Lord, send revival, Lord, unto this place in our hearts tonight and begin a work in us, oh Lord, this week. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd fan the fires of God. I ask you, dear Lord, tonight, may the Holy Ghost have freedom and liberty, Lord, to continue working in every heart tonight. I don't know the hearts of any man, woman, boy, or girl, but Lord, you do. And I ask you, Lord, tonight, would you help us to be available unto the Spirit of God and to be obedient unto the things of the Word of God tonight. Would you move in our midst tonight, dear Lord? I ask you, Lord, to say, Lord, that sinner that's near as hell tonight, encourage the children of God. Bless this pastor and his home, his family, and this church, dear Lord, for your glory. In Christ's name we pray tonight. And all God's people said, amen. Notice now with me here, I want to pick out these verses here for just a moment and share with you. Brother Terry had told me, don't worry about preaching long. One of my men told me the other day, he said, preacher, you remind me what Pharaoh told Egypt, that you won't let my people go. But I'm not that long-winded, but I'll be, if you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast, and we'll get out of here. But if you notice in these verses that we read tonight, that these verses have told us about the contest between the Lord God of heaven and the false god of Baal. And it's amazing how, if you study the history of Israel here, how that they have allowed Baal to come in and take over about everything. It sort of reminds me of how America is today, how we've got Christianity today that wants to allow everything to come into our life and line it up with Christianity. But listen, Jesus, no one can walk with him and do what he did. There's no other gods. Listen, Jesus is the Lord God of heaven. Amen. And I know his church walks with him, but I'm talking about the gods of the world today. Like Mohammed and like Buddha and all that crowd. But we're living in an age today where it seemed like the church has gone backwards instead of going forward. When Jesus said, "I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," that does not mean that we're just to stand and fight, but that context there, Jesus saying that the church should be marching on and going forward. No matter how dark it gets, we're still the light of the world. No matter how rough it gets, we can still do what God told us to do. He said, "I'll not leave you comfort, I'll send the Spirit of God." So we find here that Elijah is really in a jam here. He's really in a tight here. And not so in his way, because he knows his God. If you notice in chapter 17 that the Bible says that Elijah stood before God. And now we're finding him praying to God and God working and using him. And anytime we get along with God, God will use you for his glory. And so we find here that in verses 30 and 31, Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now, that was one of the reasons why Ezra was in a mess, because the altar was broken down. And before anything really happened, Elijah called the children of Israel and said, "Hey, we have got to begin where we need to begin, and that is to repair the altar." And so tonight, for a little while, I want to share with you this thought about the repaired altar here. And this repaired altar here is a center of the divine judgment of the false god Baal. God, listen, God wants his children in the midst of what he's doing today. I know a lot of people say, "Well, I tried to serve God, and why didn't God do this?" Well, listen, serving God means a commitment and a surrender to God. And everyone who's told me that, they come to church once in a while, and they think because they come once in a while that God ought to give them everything that they need and everything they want. But honey, I'm going to tell you something. When you walk with Jesus Christ, he'll take care of you. The psalmist David said, "I once was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." And so we seeing here a beginning of a new revelation of God Almighty to the nation of Israel. And I say tonight, America still needs a new manifestation of who God is, who Jesus Christ is in our land tonight. And so we want to look tonight at this thought here about in this chapter here, they was in a drought. They were in a time when there was over 3 years period, no rain whatsoever on the scene, because Elijah had stopped the rain. And now here's Elijah giving them a promise. If we'll do that, then the rain will come. And we'll read that a little bit later here. And listen, I know that God desires to send rain to planet Earth. But I know that he desires to send the rain upon his church also. He desires that the Spirit of God would move among you and I in the freshness of his grace and the freshness of his power here. And he shows us that we have to do something, and that is to repair the altar that has been broken down here in verses 30 here. And now you say, "Well, preacher, what's so important about the altar?" Well, it says that in verses 29 and 30, how had Elijah repaired the altar there? And listen, when the people stopped crying to their idols there, and they had done everything that they could do to their false god, he said, "Well, let's get back to the fact. Let's get back to the altars tonight. Let's get back to the time that where we call upon a holy God." There's a lot of people today that are wondering, "Well, where's God at?" And listen, he's always been where he's always been. You'll find him around Calvary. You'll find him around the altar of God, and we'll share with that with you in just a moment here. But so they turned from Baal, and then Elijah began to tell them, "Let's repair the altar." Well, so why is the altar so significant here in verses 18? Rather, in chapter 18, if you study, as you study your Bible, you'll find out that the altar was a high, exalted position. You remember in 1 Kings over there, chapter 1, when Solomon had become king of Israel, at one of his brothers, Adonijah, God was, he went before him and said, hey, I'm going to be king because I deserve to be king. And the Bible says, well, who's going to be king? Nathan went unto David, and David said, Solomon shall be my successor to the throne. And so they anointed Solomon to be king. And when Adonijah, his brother, found out that he was anointed king, the Bible said that he ran unto the altar and held on to the altar. And so the Bible said they went up to the altar and released him from. He grabbed a hold of the horns on the corner of the altar and said, I will not go. And so the altar is a high position place. And I know when we bow to the altar, we humble ourselves and we bow our knees. And you may say, well, I humble myself at the altar. How can it be a high exalted place? Honey, every time you bow your face to God Almighty, you're getting up to God. You're reaching God. You're talking to God. And God will meet you there at that altar there. Oh, I tell you what. Listen, no wonder Israel was in a mess because the altar was broken down. Let me just share with you here now. Keep your Bible open right there. Let's look in Exodus chapter 20. First of all, we're going to look at a few verses here tonight, and we'll be back over there. I want to talk, first of all, about the description of the altar here. Now, notice, what's so important about the altar tonight? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, he says unto young people there, he said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days come. If we had time tonight, those of us who have got age on us, we can tell you young people something. Hey, there are some evil days that you're going to face. Because we that have age on us, we have faced some evil days. And we've seen what God can do. And listen, you'll find out what God can do when you're around the altars of God. And find out who he is and his will for your life. But notice in Exodus here, in chapter 20 and verse 24, the Bible said, an altar of earth shall thou make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offering, and thy peace offerings, he said, thy sheep and thine oxen. He said, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I'll bless thee. Now, hey, we could just read that verse right there and go home and say, hey, that ought to be enough for you and I to realize that God said, if you'll build an altar, I'll come and I'll bless you then. Hey, blessings do not come because we're out there somewhere trying to do something in the world. Blessings come when we're down at the altar before a holy God tonight and crying out to God, praying for those lost people that God would bring conviction upon them, praying for that church family, praying for your pastor, praying for one another, praying for missionaries. Listen, when you're on that altar there, God sees you there, and God will bless you because you're around the altar of God. We've lost that a lot of our churches today. I mean, listen, there's a lot of people, and listen, I've been to some churches that where they never pray. They never pray. I mean, they sing a lot, but they never pray. And I'll tell you what, listen, I love singing. I enjoy singing. But I'll tell you what, the preaching of the word of God and pray. Listen, Jesus in my house shall be called a house of what? A house of prayer. I mean, listen, we come in here to meet with him and talk with him and fellowship with him. So here's a place where God meets and blesses his people. And listen, these altars here that he mentioned about the sacrifice, it's a picture and a type of Calvary here. The burnt offering and the peace offering, it's a picture of Calvary. And that's, listen, Calvary is still the place where God meets mankind and blesses mankind today. A sinner can get saved because he bows himself to Almighty God and receives the gift of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. And God Almighty will wash his sins away, and they're gone, and he's a new creature in Christ, all because he met God there. And God said, when you bow at the altar, I'll bless you there. Amen. Used to be a time when people got married, they bowed at an altar. But now they don't want to bow at the altar. They don't want nothing to do with God. I preached many of funerals, and I've had some of the family members, not in our church, but being a pastor in the community, they'll call and say, we don't have a pastor. I said, I'll be glad to do the funeral. And they'll come to me and they say, hey, now I'm going to tell you something. And maybe not the ones who call me, but when the family members know I'm going to preach, they'll come and say, hey, we don't mind you preaching the funeral, but we don't want nothing said about heaven, nothing said about hell, nothing said about death. We don't want nothing said about there. And I'll tell you what. Listen, the Bible still says that man must face God one day. And listen, I'm obligated to tell him, I tell him, I say, hey, you do what you want to do, but hey, God tells me what to do. And I'm gonna preach to you the word of God. And listen, some of them have even come up to me, they told me outside the door after the service, the preacher, I'm sorry, I apologize to you. Hey, when you stand for God, gotta honor the word of God. I don't know how that got in there, but it's there anyway. But we find here, Elijah, listen, he desired to bring Israel back to God. And we're going to have a desire tonight to get back to God. And that's going to happen when we get around the altar of God. Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hebrews 13:10 says we have an altar. So the description of the altar, God says here, says, hey, I want to bless you around the altar of God. There used to be a time when families had a family devotion and prayed one for another and read the Bible. And some of the sweetest times of my children coming up, when we'd read the Bible and my kids would get tickled trying to pronounce some of them words in Chronicles. I said, don't worry about it, darling. Just go ahead. I can't pronounce them either. But you never, hey, you never, hey, this book that we have, this King James Version of 1611, is the internal, inerrant, inspired Word of God. Amen. And it is the seed of God. And it being an incorruptible seed, it'll never die. And this seed, when it's sown among the many waters, it'll bring forth fruit again. So just keep on sowing it. Sow it when you feel like it. Sow it when you don't feel like it. Sow it when they like it. Sow it when they don't like it. Just keep sowing the Word of God. Notice the second thing here. Go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 8 here. Not only the description of the altar, but we find here, listen, about how to get God back on the scene again. We've got to find out, listen, why is it important to get around the altar tonight? There in the book of Genesis chapter 8, we find the development of the altar. Here, now listen, God said, I'll meet with you there at the altar. Here is Noah after the flood, Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, and God remembered Noah. But look with me here down in about verses 18. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his son's wife with him, and every beast and every creeping thing and every fowl and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth and after their kind went forth out of the ark. And the Bible said, and Noah builded an altar to the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savior. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night, he says, shall not see. In other words, when God saw Noah build that altar, you know what it is? Hey, God said, that's a sweet savior to me. He says, I like that. And then God began to give Noah some promises there that what he would do and what he would not do. And I'm going to tell you something. Around the altar of God is when we receive the instruction from God that what he will do and what he will. You know why a lot of Christians today are living such a defeated life? Because they don't spend time in prayer. Honey, when you spend time in prayer, you'll have the Holy Ghost to dwell. Listen, he'll whisper to your heart. He'll tell you some things from that word. Now listen. The Bible said that the Spirit of God, Jesus said this in John 14:15-16 about the Spirit of God. He said that he will guide you into all truth and he will show you things to come. In other words, as we pray, he'll meditate and minister to our heart through the Word of God. So if we don't pray, we don't get to hear from him. But when we're around that altar, they're like Noah did. And listen, God said, I like that. Hey, there's nothing any better than God seeing his children around an altar and crying out to him and begging him, oh, God, send revival. Oh, God, forgive our land. Oh, God, bless our country again. Oh, God, save my daughter and my son. Oh, God, bring them back from the prodigal field. I'm telling you, God can still do great and wonderful things today. Amen. He says we have not because we what? Ask not. We got to ask him. We got to ask him. We got to ask him. Have you asked him anything today? Have you asked him? Oh, isn't he wonderful? He says, I see you. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 6. He says, he talked about praying and he talked about them praying there. And here's what he said. He said, don't be like the hypocrites. They shall be, he said, for them much speaking. But he said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when I shut that door. And he said, when you enter into that closet. Now, he didn't say when I hear you there in that closet. He said, when I see you in that closet. Amen. That's what he said. Now, we know that what Jesus meant. Now, hey, when he says, hey, when I see the church wanting to get along with me in that prayer closet, get along with me and spend some time with me, even, listen, Jesus did not say when I hear their prayer, but when he says I see them there, I'm telling you what, he'll come down to you and I there in that prayer closet, and he'll remind you and I just how faithful he is. Yeah. How wonderful he is. Yeah. And how gracious he is. And all that he wants to do out of that book there. Amen. When he sees us in that prayer closet. But if we get up in the morning and run a little late, we don't have time to pray. Oh, Lord, I pray on the way to work. And then you run across all kind of people out there that you're horn cussing all the way to work and you don't have time to pray. Because you ain't in the spirit. Now, y'all know what horn cussing is. They do a lot of that down in Florida. Some of them give you half of a peace sign. But our Bible tells you and I that we're to enter into that closet and we're to pray. And when we get there, God, who sees us in secret, the Bible says He will reward us openly. I'm telling you, hey, the answer's not going to come when we're right here praying. The answer's going to come when we leave with Him and we get outside there and we trust Him to do what we've asked Him to do. He said, I will reward thee openly. I'm telling you. I'm saved tonight because somebody prayed for me. And if you're saved tonight, hey, it's because someone prayed for you. They prayed you in the family of God. I mean, God helped you to come to Him. Somebody prayed for you. That's why it's important to pray for lost people today. Notice here now, Noah had this problem here. Noah had a problem going all them days in that ark, never hearing from God. But when he built that altar, God spoke to him. In Genesis chapter 12, we find Abraham had built four altars in his life. Abraham, Genesis 12, 7, he built an altar there as Shechem. In verse 8, he built another altar. Genesis 13, verses 1 through 4, we find in verses 10 through verse 21, Noah did not build an altar when the Bible says there's a famine in the land, and he went down to Egypt. And anytime you go down to Egypt, type of the world, there's no praying, there's no altar going on, there's no altar mentioned down there. But in Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, and Abraham returned back to God, and the first thing he did was build an altar. Amen. Amen. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob set up altars there. The last altar he mentioned was Genesis 22:9. And Abraham prayed. Abraham sought the face of God. Elijah now is praying as we turn our Bibles back there to the book of 1 Kings for just a moment. 1 Kings in chapter 18. We find not only the description of the altar, not only the development of the altar, but tonight, let me share with you the third thing, the design of the altar. In verses 31 through verse 33. Now notice what he did in verse 31. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. Now notice now in verse 31, he was identifying the nation of Israel who had been in the rocks and hiding and fearful because of what all Baal and Ahab and Jezebel had been doing. I mean, listen, and sometimes we find Christians, people in churches today that are afraid of what the world is doing. And listen, I know we're living in bad times today, but listen, God's still on the throne. God still has the sun to come up every morning and set every night. Them young people sang that song a while ago about how blessed we are. And we are blessed. Or the choir sang. And listen, we are blessed tonight. And God sees where we're at. God knows where we're at. God, listen, God is aware of what we're going through tonight. And so he says here the design of the altar here in verse 31. He got the unity of the nation of Israel. I'm telling you something, church. Hey, if a church, a body of believers could get together in a unification of praying and agree, the Bible says, if any two of you nor shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done to my Father in heaven. Oh, one of the hardest things to do together is to get people in one mind and one accord about what God wants. It's not what I want, what you want, it's what He wants. So let's get together and do what He wants to do. Does He want to send revival? Sure He does. Will He send it through you and I? Sure He will. It will meet the conditions here. Notice some things here about this. The unity of Israel. Now, they were falling apart. They were at distance there. And he said, pick you out 12 stones. Now, the children of Israel knew what the 12 stones were. You remember when Joshua led them across the Jordan River there? He said, pick you out 12 stones. They picked out 12 stones, put them in the middle of that Jordan River there. Then they picked up 12 and put them on the bank there. And he said, hey, and then children said, well, what's that for? Well, in times that come, the children said, well, what means these stones in years come by? And they say, hey, we want to tell you about what God did for us here many years ago. I dried up this Jordan River and we marched across here. He said, in the middle of that day, in the middle of that Jordan River, when the swell would go down, and there in the middle of that Jordan River, there was a pile of rocks there to remind them again that God can still do it again. Amen. Our young people today, they need to see that God can do today what us preachers are preaching about, what he did in the past. And what our parents are telling our kids and grandkids today. If you look here, right here in these verses here, he says they had a unity of Israel. And the unity was the condition in this chapter for God's glory to be revealed. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible said they was all in one accord. And the Spirit of God came and baptized and birthed a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. One mind and one accord. And honey, if you read your Bible, they were there for many days. My pastor used to say, fellowship is two people in the same ship going the same direction. We got to be in one mind and one accord. Now, I'm going to tell you, hey, the devil is the accuser of the brother. And he wants us to disagree with the man of God and with the sisters and with the brother. He wants us to be in disunity. But God wants his church to be in unity. Amen. The design of the altar. Let me give you these things here. Notice some things here in verses 32. In verse 32, and he said, and with the stones he built an altar. So he took the unification of the nation of Israel, and with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar. Now notice that. As great as would contain two measures of seed. In other words, he took those stones and made an altar. And around that altar, the Bible says he made a trench. And that word trench there means border. God has always had his people. His desire is to be separate from the world. In everything that we do. Listen, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that we are living epistles read of all men. When the world sees you and I, they ought to know there's something different about you and I. And they ought to know by our talk and by our walk, by how we conduct ourselves, how we dress, and everything of our life. It ought to testify that Jesus is the Lord of our life. You don't have to go very far today in this old wicked world that, hey, if you're living for God, they'll know it. They'll know it. And we find here this word border means, the word trench means border, and it means that there's a difference there. There's a disunity, but he got them together. And now he says around the altar. And the Bible says here, hey, there ought to be a separation between you and Baal. For a long time, they have allowed Baal to lead them. They have quit worshiping the God. The altars have been broken down. And they've been in the high places of Baal. And the groves that they've set up all in the community there to worship all their false gods. Right. Mohammed is not a god. Right. And they got now, Christians have signed a petition now. 300 of our leaders of our Christian circles in different denominations have signed letters today. And here's what they're saying. They're saying that we need to accept Jesus Christ as God and Allah as God. And then that's what's happening in our church. And what they want is the unification of the church. That's going to come during the tribulation period. Thank God the church is going to get out of here before that time. But listen, we're seeing it all set up. But God, hey, God still wants us to be separate. So we find here this distance here. He says, listen, Jesus talked about the light. John the Baptist, the Bible said John the Baptist was a bright and a shining light. He was bright and he was shining. He was bright on the outside and shining on the inside. He had the reality of Christ in him. He had the promise of God. He was a messenger, the forerunner, of the Messiah. And he spoke that message there and he told that message to the day he died. He was a burning and a shining light. We find here not only the distance, but the depth here. If you notice here in our Bible, don't turn there, but in Exodus chapter 27, you'll find two altars are mentioned here. And it talks about two altars there in verses 27, chapter 27 of Exodus and chapter 30 of Exodus. In chapter 27, you have the altar, the burnt offering on the outside. And that was there on the outside, where they took the animals and sacrificed them and it was consumed by fire. Then when you went on the inside to the holy place, you had the golden altar there, when they sprinkled the frankincense and the oil and the myrrh, it rose up a sweet odor to God. A lot of people never get past Calvary to realize that, listen, God sees his people under his blood, and he likes to see that. the depth. He says here, notice here, he says, dig around and make a trench about 2 measures of seed. Look in verses 33 through verse 35. And he put the wood in order. Hey, you want to find an interesting Bible study? You take that little word order there, run it through the Bible, find out what God says about order. God is a God of order tonight. He just orders things. I'll tell you how to live your Christian life. Listen, I heard Dr. Bill Lakin say this years ago. He said the best thing to do when he get up in the morning, he said he just gets up, goes to headquarters, and get his orders for the day. Carries them out through the day. And listen, his orders is the Word of God. Our problem is that we hadn't heard preaching. Our problem is we're not doing what we've been preached to, including myself now. So we find here the depth here. But if you notice in verses 34, and he said, do it the second time. Well, what do you mean by, well, in verse 33, he said, well, put the wood in order. In verse 33, cut the bullock in pieces, lay him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. They did it. And he said, do it the third time, and he did it. And the Bible says, and the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Now, if you notice in the Word of God, listen, the Bible talks about water, the Word of God. It talks, listen, it says in these verses we just read that the water ran around the altar. Still water in the Bible speaks of the Spirit of God. Running water, listen, I'm sorry, still water speaks of the Word of God. Running water speaks of the Spirit of God. So here they are, the sacrifices are there. And the Bible says the water was running around the altar. I'm going to tell you, when you get around the altar of God, this word will just come to you. It'll just come where you at. You may be in pain and problem. You may be in a financial situation. But hey, this word will come to you if you just get on the altar of God. You may be here tonight lost without God. But if you get on the altar of God, listen, this word will come to you and say, hey, Jesus can save your soul tonight. Jesus can change your life. Jesus can help your home and your family. This word is alive tonight. It's alive. Oh, it's alive. Yes, a lie. It's just running around the altar. So if the word's running around the altar, I would get around the altar. Cause that word to be there. When you get on the altar and say, oh, preacher, there's times I pray to God, and I do, and it seems like our prayer doesn't get to God. But listen, we're not to pray by feelings. We're to pray by faith. We're to do what He says and pray and say, hey, there's some times it seems like that God's a million miles away. But listen, when you've done what He said to do, somewhere along the line He'll show up. Amen. He'll show up. And as a preacher friend of mine down in South Georgia said, when he shows up, he'll show out. If you look with me here, these verses here tonight, notice what he says in these verse 33, 34, and 35. Our Bible tells us these words here tonight. Look in verse 35. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. So everything around the altar is just full of water. It is soaked with water. When you give yourself to God Almighty on that altar, I'm telling you what, that Word of God will be there. Hey, it will sustain you. And today, do you remember in the Old Testament that they had that three-pronged hook? And that three-pronged hook by the priest there was you at when that sacrifice was put on that altar there. And listen, that fire would consume it and it would just about fall off. That priest would take that three-pronged hook, put it down there and grab that offering, put it back on the fire until it's totally consumed. Hey, the Spirit of God, the triune God that we serve, knows how to keep us on the altar. So when you give your family and everything you got and your children, everything you have on the altar of God, it may seem like it's sliding off, but God will keep it there. If we just trust Him. If we just trust Him. That water just running around that altar. I'm talking about that. The Word of God just... I'm about to have a shout and spell up here. It's running around the altar. That's why the devil is trying to get rid of this King James Version 1611. And that's why he's got all these other books out here and people are saying we can't understand the King James Version. I'll tell you why you can't understand it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, listen, the natural man cannot understand this book. But when you get born again by the grace of God, I tell you what, the Holy Ghost will teach you the Word of God. You'll understand it because He'll help you. He says, verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Now, how would you like to be in an all-day service like that? We complain when the preacher preaches an hour nowadays. I don't think you do. I think y'all enjoy preaching. Notice what he says here. By the time of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Now notice in verse 33 through 35, the trench was filled with water. Now remember now, in those days there was a drought in the land, and water was scarce. Get this point. God may ask you and I to do some things that we really don't want to do. Are y'all with me? It may be scarce. God may say, hey, I want you to go across the road and witness to your neighbor. One of the saddest things that to a pastor, and I hadn't had this happen in a long, long time, because I try to tell people. I've had people to call me and say, preacher, my son and my daughter's under conviction. Would you mind coming? And I will. But I'm going to tell you, one of the sweetest joys it is to bow with your kid and lead them to Christ. Now, I'm not criticizing that, but I'm talking about people, and I ask them after we go over there and talk to them and lead them to the Lord, and I get them along. I say, now, why don't you lead them to the Lord? He says, I don't know how. Sitting in church all these years, I don't know how. They're afraid. That I might tell them, hey, if you tell them the gospel, you're not telling them wrong. You tell them what that book says. You read that book to them and let the Holy Ghost take that word and deal with their heart. Mm-mm. Notice here. He says in these words here, we find here that the water was scarce. Paul said in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. There's water around the altar, and it's filled the trenches. You know why sinners don't want to come to the house of God? Oh, when they hear the word of God, they know that they need a good bath. We've got a lost man been coming for a couple of months there. He lives in Hilliard, about 40 miles from us. His wife grew up in the neighborhood, and they moved to Hilliard, and she comes. She's had a lot of health problems, lost a foot and ankle and a leg by diabetes, and she'd been coming to church, and he started coming with her. And you pray for him. His name's Stanley. Stanley's just an old drunk. He'll go out the door in the service. He'll fall on my shoulder. He said, preacher, God almost got me this morning. I braced my arms around him. I tell him in his ear, I said, Stanley, Jesus loves you more than anything in the world. He's had such a hard life. His life has been seemed like one thing after another. And he's been coming. And he'll walk out the door with tears in his eyes every service and say, I've seen him grab the back of the pew, hold on the back of that pew and shake back there under conviction. And we're praying for him at our church. I wish you'd put him on your prayer list. His name's Stanley. And he's back this Sunday. Same condition. Same way. And they you did the last ones to leave. We sit around, we talk. I try to tell him that Jesus can change his life. Amen. But you know, we got a lot of people afraid to come to the house of God, sinner especially, because they get under conviction. Don't feel bad at them when they come once or twice and they don't come back. God's dealing with them. You just pray for them, go by, encourage them, and say, hey, knock on their door, say, it's just been good to be seeing the house. And I know y'all do that. Your pastor teaches that. I know that. Because of his spirit. But God loves sinners. And he loves sinners through you and I. He loves sinners through you and I. And listen, that's the only sinner. Hey, I have never been able to clean a fish until I caught him. You got to catch the fish first before you clean him. And I've heard a lot of preachers over the years going by, especially down the south, they want everybody to clean up everything before. Listen, you can't quit anything as a sinner. You come just as you are, bow before him, and I tell you what, he'll do it. A few weeks ago, a lady been coming to church. She'd been coming, and every time, she's on the third pew right there, every time she sits with her, listen, This blows your mind. She sits with her ex-mother-in-law. That's got to be God. Her ex-mother-in-law invited her, and she came. Sitting in the house of God. Every service, I see an invitation weeping. Why? Third Sunday, she came. She didn't move. We dismissed out the back door shaking hands. I saw her mother-in-law get out of the pew. And she told me later, when they come to the altar, she said, I don't want to go home in this condition. I need to get saved. You see, some are tender and they'll get saved. Some are hard to win. And just because a sinner don't get saved this Sunday, don't give up. Don't give up. We've been having college prayer meeting for about 2 months now. And we're getting ready for a revival week after that. And in college prayer meeting the other night, I don't know how many men called his name out to the Lord's. Lord, save us, Stanley. And one of these days, Stanley's going to come to the house of God, and God's going to get him. I believe that. I tried to tell my people, I said, hey, don't you criticize these sinners when they come in here. I said, you love them to Jesus. Let the Holy Ghost deal with them. Oh, that's what we need today. Let God deal with me. He will do that. Let me close with this right here. We find here not only the development of the altar and the design of the altar. And let me close with this very quickly here. Look at the duty of the altar. There's something about getting around the altar of God. It just take care of things. It just take care of things. When I was a little boy, we used to sing that old song, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Leave them there. You can do that tonight. Notice in verse 37. Well, here he is praying now. He says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. You see, that's what God wants to do, is turn our hearts back again. And when just 63 words he prayed, and when their hearts are turned back again, notice in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. Five things that happened in verse 38. It consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I mean, it just took care of everything. Yes, sir. When the fire of God falls. Now, if we want revival, what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to repair the altar. In America, in our church, in our lives, our homes, our family. And he says here, and when all the people, verse 39, saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. They forgot about Baal. There's something about when the fire of God falls in that altar meet with God that you forget about everything that devil's been trying to do. And you'll realize that, hey, greater is He that's in me than he is in the world. And you'll be able to say that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The Bible says in verse 36 and 38, not only the testimony, it was broken, cut in pieces in verse 33. And the time was the evening sacrifice, the evening offering. It was a meat offering. And only one without blood. The only one without blood. The meal offering. If you notice in these verses here, this last thing, the Bible says in verse 36, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Now, why did Elijah put that there? Well, I believe that Elijah knew that back in Jerusalem, at the time of the evening sacrifices, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, they were offering up prayers in the temple. And when they were offering up prayers in the temple, they were offering up prayers there on this mount. You see, we're not alone in this battle. There's somebody else praying. The brother stood up while I go and said, pray for my brother. And I guarantee you, he's at his home praying for your pastor and you tonight and this service. Amen. And as you're praying for him, he's praying for you. So at the evening time, let me say this, we're close. 6 o'clock. Don't you think it's very, very late? I don't have time tonight to turn these verses, but Romans chapter 11, verses 11, 12, 13, 14. He says that the night is forspent, the day is gone. He said, don't you think it's time to wake out of sleep? It's late. Listen, church, it's later than what we think. if we're ever going to see lost people saved, we're going to have to do it today. We're going to have to pray for them. Jesus made an interesting statement over there in the Gospel of Luke. Matthew 17 mentioned it, Luke mentioned it. Jesus had made this statement. Here's what he said. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Y'all remember that story? Peter, James, and John. And the Bible says that they came down from the mountain. And there was a man that had a son there that cast himself into the fire. He was demon-possessed. And he told Jesus, he said, your disciples had tried to cast him out, but they couldn't. And Jesus said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Bring him to me. And we know the story, Jesus healed him. Y'all remember that? Then after that, his disciples called him aside and said, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? You know, it's nothing wrong with asking Jesus why. Now, let me go back for just a moment. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus had gave the disciples the power over demonic spirits. Y'all remember that? He gave them the power and the ability over demonic spirits. They even come back in that chapter and said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us. But Jesus said, don't rejoice about that, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. But somewhere between that chapter there and that incident over there when Jesus came down from the mount, they had got out of touch with Jesus Christ. Don't criticize them because Samson did the same thing. You remember when he fell asleep in Delilah's lap? He got up, thought he could strengthen himself like he always did, but his power was gone. But somewhere along the line, what Jesus had gave them disciples to do, the ability to do, they lost it. They lost it. And I believe our churches today in America, I'm saying mine too down there, we have lost the ability that God has given us. And we need to get back. And here's what Jesus said. Disciples, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, it shall be cast in the sea. Shall not doubt in your heart, it shall be done. And Jesus said, this kind don't come out but by prayer and fasting. You know what their problem was with them disciples? Two things. They quit praying. And there are some things that are not going to come out but by prayer and fasting. There are some people not going to get saved unless there's some people praying and fasting for them. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The psalmist David made this statement in the book of Psalms, chapter 27. He says, compass thine altar. Compass thine altar. Now, we know our New Testament altar is Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:10. When he says, compass thine altar, in the Old Testament, there was an altar on the north side, Leviticus 1:11. It spoke of the sacrifice, the blood. There's no worship without that sacrifice. You got to worship him. But you must go by the altar to get to the holies of holies. And on the north side was a place where the sacrifice was given. Leviticus 1:16, the Bible said there was a place of ashes on the east side. The ashes show that the sacrifice has been accepted. Our assurance is that we look at on the east side and say, there's the ashes of my life, that my life, I want it to be consumed for Jesus Christ. I want to be a testimony for Christ. Ezekiel 47:1, it says that the streams flowed on the south side by the altar, going out to do the will of God. And everything that that river touched, it changed in Ezekiel 47, verse 9. And we're to allow the Spirit of God to fill you and I. And on the west side is the Holy of Holies. As she comes to the piano tonight, maybe play something very softly. I want to ask you tonight, do you want to see God do something in your heart, in your life tonight, in this church? It's going to start when we allow Him to help us rebuild our altar. Now, I don't know how y'all do it here, but here's what we're going to do tonight. Maybe you'd like to come about the altar tonight and say, Lord, that's what I need. Lord, help me to rebuild my altar. You may be here tonight and say, oh, the Holy Ghost has spoken to my heart tonight about my prayer life. And I need to spend some time around that altar tonight. Revival comes. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that we can hear from heaven, heal our, but it comes when we get around the altar of God. Oh God, oh God, would you please give me a spirit of supplication and a spirit of grace. Oh God, help me. You may tonight have to confess some sins, maybe lay aside some weight. There may be a brother or sister that maybe you're not in fellowship with. I don't know what it is the Holy Ghost may tell you, but if you'll get around the altar of God tonight and the glory of God, the fire of God will fall, He'll help you tonight. He'll help you. Be sensitive unto Him and help Him as we pray together tonight.